Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give our discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by the head of UK and Ireland Marketing and Communications at Ericsson, Lisa Daniels. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you here. So where do we find you on our recording day today?
I'm based here in the southwest in Bristol. Okay. So my place of work is mostly in Reading. And I spend a lot of time in London too. So I'm travelling out and about with customers a fair bit, but today I'm in my home in Bristol.
Across the south of the UK.
All across the south. Yeah, the M4 corridor.
And so tell us a bit more about your role at Ericsson.
Sure. So my role, I joined Ericsson about 6 months ago, and I'm the head of marketing and communications for UK and Ireland. So Ericsson, contrary to popular belief, don't make mobile phones anymore. They did for a short while, but they're actually a really long-standing global technology business that make and deploy all of the mobile network technology. So all of the kit that goes into the networks. So our core customers are the mobile network operators, so BT, EE, Virgin Media, O2, Three, and Vodafone in the UK. Okay. And we've got about 100,000 employees across the world, and we operate in about 180 markets. So a large, complex, long-standing organization, which is fascinating.
And the great thing about you being head of marketing and communications, I'm guessing, is that gives you a pretty wide space to decide where you're going to focus. So what are the things that you really enjoy in your role? And also, I guess, what are the challenges?
Sure. So I have a really broad scope. We cover everything from marketing, external comms, media relations, internal comms, sustainability, corporate responsibility. And we sort of sit as a little micro team within the UK and Ireland. And obviously we leverage a lot that comes from our global units and our business areas and various other places. So a lot of what we're doing is activating stuff that comes from all across Ericsson's business and making it relevant for the UK market. So I have sort of four customers in simple terms, which sounds lovely. Four very, very large, complex customers with lots and lots of influences within it. And then obviously the telco market is highly complex itself, with the government and the industry layer to it and all of that kind of wider ecosystem that's really, really key. And obviously the consumers and the enterprises at the other end of it. So whilst it's a great role because it is broad, I am a long-standing marketeer with about 15 years of marketing experience. So marketing is my comfort zone. So really like focusing on the account-based marketing side. How do we become, how do we create more standout in our communications? The same stuff that you'll hear from any B2B marketeer. And I love that stuff. But the communication side is actually relatively new to me. I've always worked alongside it and never really had that in my responsibility before. Mm-hmm. And that's actually really, really interesting. And it's great to be able to bring the marketing and communication things together, so you don't get so much of that disparate nature, which sometimes happens when they sit in different functions across a large organization.
Yeah.
So the breadth, the variety, the customer closeness that I get to have is really enjoyable. The challenges are that, we are we've got relatively limited resources, a really, really large scope. There's about 100 things we could do. There's probably about 50 things we should do. And often, you know, we can only maybe do 30 things sort of thing. So you have to always make those tough decisions around where you're putting your focus and where you can make the most impact. So it's just making sure that that prioritization is an ongoing thing. And sometimes, you know, you do have to live with the fact that you can't do some of the things that you'd like to be doing because of the feasibility of the time and effort that you've got within your scope.
Cool. And when we're speaking, you're kind of relatively new, if you don't mind me saying, in the kind of Ericsson role. So by the time this podcast goes out, you'll have been in post for about sort of 8 months or so. So I wonder if you could take us through, because you hinted at the 15 years of marketing experience. Can you take us through a bit of your journey? What were the key steps, Lisa, on your journey to getting to Ericsson? And in particular, are the things that, you know, our listeners who maybe are at different places in their marketing career might want to think about emulating?
Yes, absolutely. So I've actually been working for 20 years, been in marketing for about 15. I actually started my career as a junior graphic designer. So I left school at 16. I wanted to get out there, very independent, just wanted to start learning, you know, through working. And I loved design. I'm a very creative individual. I was good at design, but I wasn't great at it. It wasn't ever going to be a long-standing kind of successful career for me. So I knew that. And I sort of fell, I was actually working in the in-house design studio at Screwfix at the time. So I was doing a lot of the art working for their catalogues and mailings and things like that. And once a good friend of mine now said to me, one of the marketing leads who had briefed in work to me said, "Oh, you ask way too many questions to be a designer. You should move into marketing." And I kind of went, okay, don't really know what that is, but sounds fun. So I moved into the direct marketing team there. And that was like an epiphany moment for me because I got to suddenly start seeing the results of the work that I was doing. I got to be a bit analytical as well as creative. I got to expand my networks across the business, you know, et cetera. So the influence I had on the business and the results and seeing them was really, really powerful to me. So it kind of was like, oh, I found my area, if you like. And I learned a hell of a lot in that time. And then I then took on, I was always the, you know, that sort of eager, keen person. I get bored quite quickly, I'm not going to lie. And I took on various secondment projects for new businesses that we were developing in the Kingfish Group, so that own B&Q and Screwfix in the UK. Hmm. So I then started working on a new business where I was working on an energy efficiency proposition for B&Q, which had a whole number of different things within it. We were working with government on some of the schemes that were available at the time and bringing things through that were relevant to homeowners and tradesmen. Anyway, so I got this kind of really strange situation where I was on my own and they needed someone to basically help them to create a business case that would get signed off at the board level and a marketing strategy. And at this point, I'd had about 8 months of, you know, some basic marketing assistant experience. So, of course, I sort of sank and swung in equal measures through that. But I still stand by the fact that was one of the best experiences because I didn't have anywhere to go and I just had to use my gut instinct. I didn't have any of the qualifications on paper. I was a little bit sensitive about that at the time. And actually, my advice is if that's you, sort of don't be. Because actually, I think good marketeers are instinctively good marketeers. Doesn't matter if you're not textbook or kind of qualified. That helps. But often when I sort of moved in and then I did a diploma in direct and digital marketing with the IDM at the time. This is going back sort of 10 years probably. Right. And I realized that I was doing it all, actually, maybe not in the right words or right sort of like kind of order, but broadly, I was actually pretty much there. So that gave me a really big confidence boost. And then I moved from some sort of B&Q work, if you like. I moved into Vodafone UK. Which was my first telco role about 9 years ago. And I took on a go-to-market role. And I'll be honest, I didn't know what that meant. and effectively was to be the coordinator of large-scale proposition launches, okay, large-scale marketing campaigns. So you were sort of project managing every single aspect of the end-to-end sort of telco, you know, kind of business. And I worked on the 4G rollout, and that was my project for about 2 years. So I learned all about networks and it was great because I really got to sort of understand the whole ecosystem. So, you know, everything from strategy to product to billing to networks, you know. And it was, again, it was, to be honest, it wasn't the role that excited me the most, because there was a lot of coordination and sort of getting coercing people to sort of do things in sync, you know, in sync with each other and things. However, it was probably the best entry to a new industry because I got to see that end to end. So then I decided the role wasn't quite right for me, but I really enjoyed working in the sector and I really enjoyed Vodafone. So I was sort of like, but I really missed marketing. So I then took a role with Sky. And this kind of took me even further off course, actually, if I'm being honest, but I don't regret it. And I went into more of a commercial strategy role, and I was working on the broadband base and basically retention. So there were elements of marketing within it, kind of customer value management, but there was an awful lot of a commercial, and I hadn't done a lot of commercial. So again, it wasn't the thing that I wanted to do forever, but it gave me skills I didn't have. It also made me realize I can do more things than maybe I would have given myself the credit for. Mm. So again, I think broadening your perspective and the lens that you have on the role that you want to do or do, it's kind of okay to come off and then come back, because then you're a stronger sort of individual and a stronger skill set as a result of it. So then I was at Sky for 2 years, and actually really, really enjoyed Sky. Environment was very up my street, high energy, really, really ambitious, you know, really iconic in lots of ways from a marketing and brand point of view. But I got approached about quite a big jump up to join BT Enterprise, to head up a marketing division there, because they were forming a new enterprise marketing team that was kind of much more centralized, you know, historically been very sort of sales led and things like that. And I didn't have any sort of large B2B experience at that point. I'd never built teams. I'd never set strategies. I'd never held large budgets, you know. So I had about a list as long as my arm about why I didn't make sense for that role, if that makes sense. But I got the role because of my attitude and my curiosity and the fact that I could pick things up relatively quickly. So there's a lesson about going. I mean, I got approached by that. If I'd seen that job ad, I probably wouldn't have gone for it. I would have just assumed, oh no, that will be for someone with much more of the experience that it lists in the job spec. So that for me, again, was another confidence boost, because I realized that actually, you know, this age old thing about, you know, if you, as particularly women in business, you know, often don't apply for jobs if they don't meet 95% of the criteria. And the sort of, you know, the story goes that a lot of men would just go, oh, I can do 20% of it, I'll go for it, and why not, and see what happens. So I really, really think that is such an important thing. And because it is about, often it's about your aptitude and your attitude rather than necessarily proven hard experience. You know, that helps, but it's not the be all and end all. So I had a massive learning curve at my time in BT. And, you know, we dealt with a lot of transformation, a lot of change, built large teams. And I realized then what I really, really enjoy doing was working with people, right? Fundamentally, I love marketing and I love the art of it, but actually working with people and being able to understand them, help them, develop them was really, I find that really, really fulfilling. Mm-hmm. So I kind of latched onto that really. And I went, okay, I'm just going to be the person that is that people champion within a business. That's the role that I kind of play. Like, yes, I think I'm a good marketeer, but really I think it's about the culture that I can bring and create. So I've sort of worked out for me, that's my kind of superpower, if you like. And that's the sort of reason why I often do get new jobs. So I think the advice is really about finding what really makes you tick and actually what you are brilliant and also maybe slightly different to other people, and lean into the difference rather than trying to conform to what you think that you're trying to be. So, you know, getting variety, broadening your networks, being open-minded about something, not closing off an opportunity because you decide that, you know, it's, I don't know, not going to be for you. That's probably the key that's led me here. And then the Ericsson role came about. Obviously, 6 months ago, I joined. Really, for me, that was about getting a broader scope again. So that kind of communication side and the PR and, you know, the external comms side. But really about understanding what it's like to work in a technology vendor rather than the direct to customer sort of operator market, and being able to utilize all of that experience that I've gained through working for the operators who are now my customers. So that's my journey.
It's a great journey. And I guess what I take from it, in addition to the fact that you've had very, very many different kinds of experiences through your career, is that actually you've stayed in marketing through that time. And I know what you say about supporting and empowering and enabling people as being one of your superpowers, but given that the title of this podcast is the Business Marketing Club podcast, you're going to excuse me if I focus on the marketing bit of that. And what I'd love to ask you after the summary you've just given us is, you know, you've stayed in marketing. So what is it that you love about marketing? What is it that's keeping you engaged?
Yeah. So firstly, I think the term marketing is so broad that it just has, you can do 20 different roles and be quite different. Some core themes and principles, absolutely. And I love that. And I feel like once you've kind of got your head around the crux of what marketing is, you can then pivot and change, and you can really do different things. Whereas I think other disciplines, you don't get that variety, you know. I'm generalizing here, but I don't know, if you're in a more of a finance role, for example, and yes, there's different markets and different things, but broadly, you know, your opportunities if you move around the markets are similar. Yeah. So for me, variety, if you're a person that gets bored easily and you are inquisitive and incurious and you like kind of understanding how what makes people tick and why they do things and how to effectively change behaviors or attitudes, then marketing is brilliant. So the psychology, the variety, the creativity, you know, I always think, especially now, you know, I'm in a business pretty much full of engineers, and there's not many creative types, right? So the few of us that are there in relative terms need to really be holding that role, you know. And it's like, I see that as just like I don't know, it's just the way I think and the way I am, but actually the sort of being able to do it. I actually find marketing, people say, oh, find a job that you find fun, you know, and figure out what you like doing and then find a way to make money from it. Mm-hmm. I see that as what I do in marketing. I actually really enjoy it. I also think it is an industry that attracts a certain type of personality that I really enjoy spending time and gives me lots of energy. And whether that be the agencies I work with or the teams or whatever, and often the leaders as well. So that kind of energetic nature that you do tend to get from marketing people is also a really big plus.
Cool. And what are the kind of latest things that are keeping on your mind around business marketing? Where do you see business marketing going over the course of the next few years?
So I think that business marketing is at a tipping point to moving away from being the slightly sometimes poor cousin, or seen as the slightly poor cousin to a sort of consumer mainstream world, and into a much more highly respected area of focus and value for the businesses. I think it's still suffering a sort of a lack of appeal in places, and also understanding within the organizations, you know, themselves. So the board level of a B2B organization, for example, I still see a lot of marketing being sort of thought of second or seen as a sort of facilitatory, like enabling type function rather than a driving one. So I think it is, but I think it's changing. I think that people are starting to appreciate the fact, especially, you know, I think that in some ways, you know, the pandemic and the fact that we aren't now out there with people the same way we were, and that sort of sales model and cadence that used to be driven from just being out and about with people all the time and having to find more creative ways to connect with customers that weren't, you know, you're sitting over a table, you know, talking or whatever. So I think the movement towards digital experiences and also the behaviors of a B2B buyer becoming more consumer-esque, and actually their expectations changing from being like, well, you know, if I've got a consumer service and I can do it in one click, then why can't I do that as a business decision maker? So I think there is a shift in sort of customer expectations. I also think there's a shift in appreciation for the area. But one of the things I really, partly the reason I love it actually in a weird way, is that I still think there's so much more to be done. And I do see a lot of mediocrity, I'm not going to lie. I still think that there is a lot of people not pushing the boundaries, doing a lot of things the way they've always done, even though no one can actually prove whether it's actually driven anything ever. And I really do think so. I really, my kind of call to arms of any B2B marketeer out there is to like follow your instinct better. Because I think that we need to be the ones to speak up to challenge the status quo and actually do the things that we all know that we need to do. I think in tough environments, you often get quite passionate stakeholders that maybe outside of marketing that will resist it. And I think there is a cultural challenge there about being open to change more broadly in these organizations. So you have to have that strength of influence and also, you know, really trust yourself. So that's one of the things that I think it needs to keep going. But I think the right conversations are happening now, you know, the work you do and all the themes coming out from people and this kind of nature of, you know, it's not a rational decision making process the same way people somehow naively think it is, even though everyone knows deep down it's not. So I think it's that's my summary of where it needs to go. On the other side, from a technology point of view, there's obviously heaps of opportunity to, you know, to automate, to use data and AI and insight-led behaviors to trigger, you know, to meet customers where they are and things like that. I think that's really important. I think it's also really, really interesting. However, my advice is not to get lost in that, because if you start getting lost in that machine, you start to forget the person at the end of it. And often, B2B marketing doesn't need to be as complex because you're not reaching millions and trying to navigate. You have got a smaller pool usually. So I think it's just about making sure that you balance the like technology optimization and all the sort of stuff that sounds really cool with the reality of like, you know, you're having, it's a relationship led, often a relationship led experience. So you can't lose that human, you know, connection.
That's a really heartening way of describing our situation. Kind of, you know, we're at a tipping point. We've come so far, still a bit of a way to go, and still some challenges to work at. So that's I can see you've got your kind of experience in kind of motivating people coming into the way that you positioned all of that there, Lisa. You must have some reading for us to help us with the state that we're in and the changes that we need to be making going forward. So what's your recommended business marketing read?
So I'll be honest, I don't, again, you've probably gathered the fact that I've got a relatively short attention span. And I must admit, often when I read any form of career related or development related book, I get about 10 pages in and get the gist of it. So I don't do loads of reading. I tend to go to resources when I need inspiration, or you know, I'll use various different things based on different kind of what I need to achieve. Right. But one of the book I've started reading, and I'm actually really enjoying it, is a book called Humanizing B2B. I don't know if you've read it, but it's by Paul Cash and James Trezona. And it's basic. Well, it does what it says on the tin. It really does talk about the power of using storytelling, emotion, you know, creativeness and humanness in your communications to bring it to life, because you're, you know, it's not business to business. It is human to human and all of that kind of stuff. And I love the sentiment of it. It's quite brutally honest. And I think anyone that shares the same sort of view that I do, that it just needs to step up a little bit more. And move away from the jargon and the corporate tone and all of that kind of stuff. I think it's a great book for sort of inspiration, and also there's some really great tips in there. So at the moment, that's my current muse.
And you can check in on that, because we interviewed Paul back at the start of this year. So if you go back far enough in our library, you can even hear the interview of the book.
Oh, great. I will do that.
A great recommend. So how about, Lisa, if people want to find out more about Ericsson or get in touch with you?
I'd love to hear from anyone that's got any views on the things I've been saying, or if I can help in any way. And if any of the things I'm saying resonate in terms of challenges. You know, I'm particularly passionate about women in technology as well. So I really, really would welcome anyone to get in touch with me via my LinkedIn profile. If you want to learn more about Ericsson, It's very specific to a specific audience, but Ericsson.com is a absolute pool of resource and content on the market and also where we need to go. And they are doing some amazing things in you know accelerating the rollout of 5G and the things that that's going to enable us to be able to do. So again, it's probably not a specific one because you're not going to come and buy from Ericsson probably, but it is actually amazing to learn about what organizations like that do. Because even though I'm from the sector, I actually didn't have the level of awareness of what they did and actually what they enable us all to be able to do. So definitely check out Ericsson.com if you're into mobile network technology and you want to know more about 5G and what it can enable.
It's been really inspiring to hear you talk today. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Lisa Daniels, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Lisa Daniels. And thanks to our technical person from Through the Eye, Alicia Gratian. And thanks too to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.